You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Well, hey there. Welcome in, everybody. TGIF, happy Friday to you as we get you ready for a weekend, the last weekend without meaningful football that we will have in this calendar year. You ready for that? We are. We'll get it all going for you today on the show. Glad to be here with you. It is Jacob Albrocht and Tommy Caster. We are coming to you on KFH live over the air, 97.5, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM. We're coming to you on our video streams, 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube, X, and of course on the Odyssey app, the iHeartRadio app, all the different ways that you can take in the show. We're glad to be with you, whichever one that you choose. We've got fun stuff coming today. The discussion on Rashee Rice's situation took a turn I don't think anybody expected yesterday. So we have that for you. We'll get you ready for a big Royals weekend. We'll continue to look around the rest of the sports world. It's all what's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company. Just announced the Kansas Lager Fest. Join WBC along with over a dozen more breweries for samples and celebration of the crisp, clean brews known as lagers. Go to www.wichitabrew.com to get your tickets now. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Happy Friday. Good to see you today. It was a little bit difficult last night with no Royals baseball. They had an off night last night, so not really anything to follow. I mean, there were other baseball games, I suppose, but I'm ready to get back to Royals baseball this weekend. It's a gettable series against the White Sox. They have to have it. They're running out of games. I know we'll preview that Chiefs preseason game tonight and a whole lot more coming up on the show.
It's a sweepable series, not just a gettable series, sweepable series for the Royals. We're glad to be. This is it. Next Friday, we're probably going to make some picks. We'll bring in Brandon and TJ and Paul, and we'll get that gang back rolling. We're going to try and find some betting content for you. Like, we're there next week. Next week is a game week for us. You know, it's a game week. We've got K-State out in Ireland. We've got KU opening up at home next week. No NFL yet. We'll see, of course, a Chiefs preseason game tonight. We'll kind of dig into what we want to see there, what we expect to see there as well. And yeah, I'm with you on last night. It was kind of, you know, what are you going to do, right? What are you going
to
do?
I didn't have a game to go to. I mean, I was, you know, had to play with my kids. I mean, like, come
you're
on.
Gonna, you're going to stay up late and watch the Diamondbacks and Rockies last night?
That was, I didn't stay up late. I wasn't going to stay up late and watch that game.
So I'm home pretty late this time of year, almost every night, because we're chasing kids to different stuff. My thing when I'm not watching a game has been, I'm trying to watch through Cheers for the first time ever. Never watched Cheers. There are a lot of episodes. I was really excited about this, and it's good. Like, I like it. And I look at the first season. There's like 22 episodes in the first season. I'm like, huh, how many seasons of this were there? Are they all 22 episodes? Like, this is going to take me 3 years.
Isn't it like 11 or 12 seasons of that show? I mean, it was on for a long time.
It's a lot, and it's good, and I get why it could last that long. I do, because the concept is great. It's just, you know, kind of buddies at a bar. But, so I've been doing a little of that, got one of those in last
Are you
night.
On the edge of your seat about whether or not Sam and Diane are ever going to get together?
So are Sam and Diane, I'm through season one, so okay. Right now where I am in season two, Sam and Diane are together.
Like, the will they, won't they, what's going to happen? Then, Kirstie Alley comes in and changes everything
I'm not
up.
There yet. Okay. I'm not there yet.
Okay, all right.
I'm not there yet. I don't know about all that. So, once, no, not yet.
Once Coach leaves and then Diane leaves it.
You, Max, you remind me of Coach.
Wait, you're like, saying you would it gets be, worse at that point, Max?
No, it's not the same. It didn't get worse.
Everybody
it's just not the
from
same.
Says it really hits its peak with Kirstie Alley and Woody Harrelson.
No. Well, Woody comes in
Woody
after
maybe.
Coach, but
yeah,
Diane's
Woody
still
maybe.
There.
But, I mean, I don't know. I prefer Shelley Long over Kirstie Alley. No offense. I know Kirstie Alley was the Wichita native, but...
interesting.
Yes. The same
I'm
with
not
Diane.
There yet, so I don't even know Kirstie Alley's role. Coach is fantastic. Yeah. I have learned that he did not, that he died in somewhere, I think in the season I'm watching now. But yeah, that sense of humor is, man, that's right
Doesn't
up my alley.
Doesn't Max strike you as Coach?
A little bit.
Like, I see a resemblance, not only physically, but just in like the style
I
of
hear,
speech and
I hear
mannerisms. Like, Max, we found your doppelganger. You are Coach from Cheers.
You kind of sound the same. Your audio doppelganger. Yeah. But it's good. Yeah, and man, I'm so late to that show, but nothing's really, like, there hasn't been a moment where I've been like, oh, that age is out. Like, it's all kind of the same,
once,
right? Nothing like there's.
Once Diane leaves and Norm comes in, I miss when she goes, Norman?
Yeah.
I mean, that was I love all the Norm entrances.
Norman, yeah. The Norm
yeah,
entrances
the Norm,
are
One
phenomenal.
Of my favorite parts is the way Cliff says Narm instead of Norm.
Yeah.
Narm. Narmy. Yeah, that's a good show. Good show. Nobody cares. But that's what I've been doing in my spare time is trying to, for the first time, go through Cheers. I've been enjoying it, but it's going to take a very long time.
And how shocked are we, by the way, that you really enjoy a show set at a bar? I mean, like, I'm blown away by that.
Or a sitcom set in the 80s and 90s,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's, both of those things are. I will tell you that I couldn't do it anymore. There's no way, like, my stamina or physically I could do it. I miss being of the age where you can just get off work and go to the bar and you've got your, you know, your regular friends there and you know all the bartenders. I love
you're
that.
Younger than Cliff and Norm in the show. Like
no, I'm
old.
Not. I'm
oh, come
40.
On.
They're not 40 in that show.
Sure, they
probably
are
in real life, but their characters aren't. There's no way.
They look like they're in their 50s when the show aired.
They look like it, but I don't think they're designed to be that age. Both single. Well, I guess Norm's not single, but.
He pretty much was single. I mean, for the duration
he's
of the show,
there, he and Vera are broken up right now in where I am in the progress of the show. But yeah, look, I do miss that. I loved that. Like, that was fun. I think about that now though, like being up till 3 a.m. and, you know, sleeping in till 10:30 or 11 the next day. That was most days, and then I go work nightside. I don't think I could do that anymore.
I always wanted a place that, and it wouldn't necessarily have to be a bar necessarily, although that would probably make the most amount of sense, but a place that my friends and I, we didn't even need to say what the name of the place was. Like, we'll just see you at place, you know, like
we'll
see you there after work. Like, you don't even need to like talk about where you're going to go. You know where you're going to go.
Yeah, we kind of had that for a while, but for the most part. I mean, I guess it was a series of places, but generally speaking, it was the same places. And yeah, I love it.
What was it?
Not in Wichita. Yeah.
Was it a place where everybody knew your name?
Yes. Yes. And I think about that too. I'm like, is that a good thing?
Because you know
like,
what? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You went where I wasn't going to, but yeah, that was right there for it. It was right there on a tee for you. All right. Let's get ready to roll this. The Rashee Rice news obviously is the massive, massive news of the day. We'll get to that when we come back. Boy, I didn't expect this. I'll be perfectly honest. Of all the things like possible in this, this wasn't one that I expected. So we'll dig into what was reported yesterday, what should be going on with this, and what it means for the Chiefs and Rice moving forward. That's where we'll start our day. We'll take your comments, 869-1240. If you want to chime in, of course, you can always get in on the video streams as well. You can leave comments on Facebook, YouTube X, all the different places. We'll have it all for you. It's Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Castor on a Friday. Don't go away.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sports Daily on a Friday. Tommy Castor, Jacob Albrock, Max Power producing the program. Sports Talk on KFH presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Jacob, it looks like the Chiefs are going to be able to potentially count on Rashee Rice, at least for the first couple weeks of the season after what we found out yesterday.
Yeah, man, I don't know what to make of all this. So, let's start with how unexpected it was, at least for me. Like, I did not see this coming. And I'm not even 100% sure this is good for the Chiefs. There's a lot of layers to it. It could either be great for the Chiefs or it could be worse for the Chiefs. But the reality is, what was reported yesterday from Adam Schefter is that the league has set a disciplinary hearing to be on September 30th. So that means until that hearing, he's going to play. And then it goes from there. But that would be the first 4 weeks of the season. Now, there's more to it, I think, than that. But at the base level, for the first 4 weeks, until they have that disciplinary hearing, Rashee Rice will be available to play for the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's interesting because I don't think that anybody really expected it to kind of take this long to get a disciplinary hearing scheduled. And then, of course, it means that he's going to be able to play, it sounds like, the first few weeks of the season. One thing, and you mentioned at the base level what the details are, when you peel back the onion a little bit more, there are some more interesting nuggets that came out of this entire story. I don't know if you saw this part of it or not, but the independent person that the NFL has to hear this actual case has only imposed discipline for one other case, and that was the Deshaun Watson case.
She's only heard one other case,
and that was the Deshaun Watson case. So, like, there are multiple people that the NFL calls on to hear these different disciplinary situations and figure out what kind of actions to take and that sort of thing. And she's only heard one other case, and that was Deshaun Watson. That one was really interesting when it all came down and what the NFL's response was to that, what the discipline was for Deshaun Watson. And so I don't know if you can read much into what that could potentially mean for Rashee Rice or not, but I do find it interesting that this person has only heard one other case in the time that she's worked with the NFL.
I think it's because they've only had one other case get to this point since she's been the independent arbitrator. She was chosen through the last CBA. From the way I understand this, she is the arbitrator. So basically, like, instead of going to court, you can assign an arbitrator to handle these cases. And that's what she is. She's only had to do this one other time. One other time it got to this point, that was Deshaun Watson.
So what happens when it doesn't get to that point? Is it a settlement?
They just agree.
So the player in the league and all of that just agree.
Yeah.
So, I mean, does that tell you that there's quite a bit of contention going on between the Rashee Rice side and the NFL side?
So I've seen it from a few different people that try to follow this. So bear with us and give us a grain of salt here on this. But the way I, after all the stuff you read yesterday, the way that I came out of it was this happens when the player wants to present something and doesn't feel like it's all there, right? So Rice feels like he has something else he needs to do. Maybe the league said, here's what we want to do. And they said, we think that's unfair. That's the part I can't quite figure out. Or maybe he just wanted a chance to go before the league and do this in a formal setting. Either way, the interesting thing is the timing, right? So what I can't quite figure out strategically, because you know that there's strategy involved in this, from, you know, whether it's Rice's camp or the Chiefs, whatever. Strategically, if you know it's going to be X number of games and that's going to happen this season, even if it's the difference, I think, of whether it's 4 games or 6 games. Now, maybe if it gets bigger than that, that's where you'd really want to fight this thing. But if you're the Chiefs, you'd want that at the beginning of the season, right? I've seen people joking around that they put it to they're trying to push it to a softer portion of their schedule. No, I don't think it's that. Look, I think what you don't want is it to hit you potentially in the playoffs or late in the season. You would much rather have it at the beginning of the season if you're going to have it. So what's interesting to me is you're choosing, right, to push this date out. Now with Watson, there was a good, I think it was Dan Graziano who had a good like recollection or a walk back through the Watson case. So you get to the hearing date. Okay. Then you have to have a little time to come up with a determination. Then you have to have a little time to appeal it. Then you have to have, so I've seen some people even surmise that this may get pushed into next year. And that's kind of where I'm a little tied up on this. Like, there may be a scenario just through the processes and how long they take. Now, the other thing that we'd heard yesterday is that September 30th date would just happen to be the date that fit on this arbitrator's schedule. So don't read too much into that date. Like, it was just a scheduling thing. But if they push this 4 weeks, and then they get a decision and they appeal, maybe it's out to 6 or 7 weeks. Like, I don't know if there's a possibility of that, but strategically, I can't help but wonder if there's not some desire for them to say, you know what, like, let's follow this and see if we can push this into next year when, you know, when maybe we're a little healthier or whatever. I don't know what the advantage to push it down the road would be. But man, it's all very strange. Now, it could also be as simple as Rice thinks he's about to get like an 8-game suspension and he wants to try to minimize that. It could be that too. It's all very, what we didn't expect was this to happen. We just expected the league to say, here's the suspension. He appeals, move on, rinse, wash, repeat from all the other things that have happened. But clearly this is going to take longer. And as far as this year, it helps the Chiefs early as they don't know about the health of Hollywood Brown and they acclimate their rookie Jalen Royals. But man, like at some point, like you got to get this thing done if you think it's going to affect you this year.
Yeah, I'm going through the Deshaun Watson timeline because again, that's all, it's not like the cases are similar, but that's all we have to compare it to as far as this arbitrator and getting to this point. That was back in 2022 when all that went down. In fact, if you'll recall, all of the Deshaun Watson situation started to bubble up to the surface and it became public in 2021. And so it was more than a year after the stories came to light and things started to be published that the NFL and the Players Association agreed to use. Her name is Sue Robinson. She is a former U.S. District Court judge and she was the arbitrator in this case. And so that wasn't until the end of March in 2022, he went through off-season workouts. In the off-season in 2022, he met with NFL officials during the off-season. He expected to hear from the NFL in June or July of that off-season regarding a decision. Roger Goodell said in May that it would happen quickly, the NFL, I'm just going through this timeline here to try to figure out if there's a way we can sort of, you know, figure out what we think this is going to happen with Rashee Rice. It really wasn't until, I'm just like scrolling through here, Man, I mean, they ended up settling on an 11-game suspension. There really wasn't anything that came down in June. I mean, there's a lot that happened in this timeline. I can't find when the actual decision came down.
I think this all leads me to believe the suspension, the league wants a bigger suspension.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
I think that's my first reaction to it. Now,
okay, so I found it. So the beginning of August was when Robinson ruled that Watson was going to be suspended for only 6 games. The AFL appealed that decision, and they wanted a longer suspension. And it wasn't until towards the end of August that they settled on an 11-game suspension. And that was with – that wasn't even really with Watson. That was with the NFL and the Players Association. So, of course, we've got to keep in mind that the union's going to get involved in this also. So it's not just like Rashee Rice's camp and his agent and his people. It's the Players Association as well that I'm sure, you know, is getting involved in this with Rashee Rice.
Do we know if Watson appealed because of that? Like, did they want?
No, Watson didn't appeal. The NFL appealed. Like, originally, the suspension was only 6 games, and the NFL appealed it, and then they settled on an 11-game suspension.
But who came up with the 6 games?
The arbitrator.
The NFL.
No, the Sue Robinson.
The arbitrator
ruled a 6-game suspension.
I'm talking about before
that. Oh, so that, right. there wasn't any. Yeah, that's a good question. It looked like back. I mean, this was like probably several months before the case was heard during that offseason in 2022. It was the NFL and the Players Association agreed to have the case be heard by Sue Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to. I don't know. I don't know if Rice fears a large suspension. If he's getting wind of a large suspension, what's making him do that? I would think my gut would tell me that. Yeah, the league's going to try to divvy out a large suspension on this, just based on the circumstances. It's two felonies. People went to the hospital. He fled the scene. Like, there's a lot of bad stuff involved in this. So he could just want to get in front of the league and really plead his case on how much it's, you know, he's changed and made him better and all of that stuff. Okay. But to the football point, this is good for the Chiefs, obviously, out of the gates, but I don't know if it's good for the Chiefs this season. If they come in October and say it's going to be an 8-game suspension, I would much rather that be served at the beginning of the season. The last thing you want is this to go into the postseason, and the elephant in the room for me is, what if none of it happens this season at all?
Yeah,
whatever it is.
Yeah,
like, I don't know how the Chiefs are supposed to plan for this. I mean, this is why they drafted Royals. This is why they have all the things that they have.
On a quick side note, that's not related to actual like talking about the case. Our buddy Rick, who we love a lot and love when he comments, commented and on our video stream and said, "So tired of speculation. Let's just wait for a ruling." What do you think we do here, Rick? Like, what else are we supposed to do? Like this is kind of our job, you know, to try to speculate and break down what this is going to be. I mean, we're all waiting for a ruling. We don't have it. We're not going to have it for more than a month. This came down yesterday, and so we're trying to make heads or tails of it.
This is Sports Daily, where we don't talk about the news of the day.
Yeah, we're just, you know, we're going to ignore it. We're just going to wait for the ruling. We're not even going to bring it up. We always appreciate you, Rick. We appreciate your comment, but speculation is kind of what we do here, my friend.
I get it. Because you just want to just play the games. And that's what the Chiefs are going to do. Like, I get the sentiment of being tired of trying to understand what the league's going to do, because that's a fool's errand always. Like, there's never an apples to apples situation with these disciplinary rulings. The fact of the matter, and the reason it's so relevant, Tommy, is because he is so good at what he does when he's on the field. And he has proven through like all kinds of metrics or whatever you want to look at, that he is one of the top guys when he's out there healthy, and the Chiefs will have him for the first 4 weeks.
And behind,
and those are some of the toughest games on their schedule.
Absolutely. Behind number 15 and number 87, he's the most impactful offensive player on that field when he's healthy. And so that's why this is such a big deal. And that's why there's the speculation of trying to figure out, number one, when is this going to happen? And number two, for how long? And getting into the conversation of what's more advantageous for the Chiefs? Yeah, I mean, I've seen the narrative and the storylines about, okay, if you get this done like later, then the Chiefs' schedule is easier then, and at least you've got Rice early in the season and like the Super Bowl rematch and all of that. I think that if you were to talk to Andy Reid, he would probably just want to get it out of the way and get it done.
Yes.
So it's not hanging over the head of this offense and of Rice specifically. I mean, like there could be a scenario where he plays the first four games and then the Chiefs are like, man, we just don't even know when we're going to see him again.
Now, if let's say it's a four game suspension or even a six game suspension, strategically, the move would be probably play the first four and get him suspended in the middle of the season. If you're talking about the best case scenario for the football, because you've got him in some of your most difficult games of the season, you've got more time to get Hollywood Brown healthy and Jalen Royals acclimated, and you feel like you'd sustain it over the middle part of the season where there is a little bit of a softer schedule. Yeah, strategically, if you're the Chiefs and you could cherry pick it, that would be the case. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all, but I am a believer that the Chiefs are very intentional in the things that they do and they're very next level planning, all that kind of stuff. So if they felt like they could have any control here by saying, you know what, wanted to appeal this thing, let's kick that can down the road, we'll get this out of the way in the middle. Maybe. Like, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility at all. But I just think the risk of it is too high to actually have like advised that, because A, you don't know how long the suspension is going to be. What if it's eight games? And what if it takes another 2 weeks to come up with that ruling? Now you're talking about, what would that be? Week five, six, seven, and then eight, you're into week 15. I don't think that's desirable. So I don't, unless they're really confident in the length of this thing, I don't think they would have wanted this, which takes me back to my original thought, which is they must fear that this is going to be a very hefty suspension and they want to have an opportunity to bring that down if they can.
Yeah,
that is my gut.
I don't buy into the quote unquote conspiracy theories that the Chiefs are trying to leverage this to get to a softer point in their schedule and all of that, because if that's the case, they're sort of playing Russian roulette a little bit. Yeah, and
that doesn't seem
it good. Gets more risky the longer you push this out, because yeah, like you might be able to kick the can down the road to a softer part of the schedule or even to 2026, but you also then run the risk of not having him for the playoff push. And that's absolutely what the Chiefs do not want with their number one receiver not available to play for them. So I don't buy into that narrative whatsoever. In fact, I wouldn't be shocked if the Chiefs are, you know, that they're hearing about this around the same time everybody else is. I mean, I'm sure they've been given a heads up, but
no, I think they're probably involved. I'm not.
Because I'm not sure that they are. I mean, like maybe on a very base level, but at least if you go back to the Deshaun Watson situation, if the Browns were involved in it and the Texans before the Browns, it was very, very, very basic. It was the Players Association and the NFL that really negotiated this outside of the teams. That's why that union's in place.
Well, somebody's helping him, but I think the Chiefs are involved in the conversation. I'll put it that way. Like, I don't think this is happening with the Chiefs having just like no knowledge of anything. I think they're very aware of what's happening. Now, again, it would tell me that they think the suspension's going to be long and they want Rice to have a chance to get in front of this arbitrator and show some contrition and hope that that leads itself in. And to the Deshaun Watson thing, just remember, yeah, their initial there was only six. So she kind of, if they go into like looking at trends and see Jordan Addison, she may say three. And maybe that's why they want her involved, is because they think there's a chance for that. Austin asks us on YouTube, Scary Terry wants out of Washington. Do they trade a guy like Sky Moore for him? Just throwing it out there.
do you think the Commanders would do a straight up one-for-one trade with Terry McLaurin and Sky Moore?
Austin needs clarification for his reputation. He's on the line here. He says, just to clarify, yes, he meant more than just Sky Moore. He's worth about $30. I think Austin meant just including Sky Moore in a trade. Sky Moore would actually be kind of an interesting fit. I know Tommy doesn't want to hear this, but I'm not sure anybody's ever disliked a player more than Tommy dislikes Sky Moore.
Well, I mean, I've had multiple opportunities to, you know, have him get back into my good graces, and he breaks my heart every single time.
Stylistically, he would be interesting for Washington because he's a run after the catch guy, which I think is what they're trying to design their offense for. But anyway,
let me tell you, first off, the Chiefs are not trading for Terry McLaurin. So I mean,
he wants $30 million.
Let's just put that out there first. But if they did, they're not going to, but if they did, what would be a more likely scenario is that they would trade for Terry McLaurin. They wouldn't include Sky Moore in the trade, and they would just cut Sky Moore. Like that's more likely to happen than trying to throw him in as part of a trade or any trade for that matter. I don't care who you're trying to go and get. I'm not sure there are any teams in the NFL that way. It might actually be a deterrent for a team to make a trade with the Chiefs if the Chiefs say, you've got to take Sky Moore off our hands. I think what would be more than likely would be that whatever trade would happen, they would then cut Sky Moore. He's not making the final roster. And so why would a team trade for him? You can just pick him up off of waivers or sign him to a practice squad or whatever once the preseason is done.
Yeah, no, it's not happening. It's not happening because his salary demands are very high. But yes, Sky Moore over here catching strays on a Friday morning. It does bring up a point, though, as we get into a preseason game tonight. 9 o'clock. I think Andy Reid's not going to play the starters. I think he's going to use them in the third game. That doesn't mean everybody, though. I don't think he's going to play Kelce or Mahomes or Hollywood Brown. But I think he'll play Josh Simmons. You know what I mean? Like, I think he'll play some guys that are going to start. But I think as far as the dress rehearsal or whatever, whatever the Chiefs want to call that, the quarter of that, I feel like that's going to end up being next week, which is fine. What I would love to see tonight, I'll be honest with you, Tommy, is a lot of Jalen Royals and a lot of Breshad Smith. That's what I would love to see. Get those guys. Now that the urgency with is lower if Sky Moore is going to be there for the first 4 weeks.
You mean Rashee Rice, not Sky Moore.
Sky Moore might be there the first.
No, probably not.
Yeah, Rashee Rice. So because now you're looking at a wide receiver room that's healthy. I mean, assuming Hollywood Brown's there, you're going to have, right, Juju and Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown and Travis Kelce. Jalen Royals may not see the field in that scenario, but you still need to get him ready. There will be a point this year, almost certainly, that you will want or need Royals to be a part of this thing. Because what are the chances Hollywood Brown stays healthy? We've already seen Worthy dealing with a concussion issue. Juju Smith-Schuster is like 60 in football years. And Rashee Rice, at some point, we still feel like is going to get suspended most likely. So at some point, Royals is going to be a key piece for the Chiefs for some stretch of games this year, maybe more than that. So I would still like to, and honestly, there's less risk probably, Tommy, in really letting him play for a little bit tonight because you don't need him early. If something were to happen, that injury risk that you always bring up in the preseason maybe is lessened a little bit because you know you're going to have Rice now to open the season. So, again, get him out there. Kind of the same thing for me with Breshad Smith. Pacheco may not stay healthy all season, but he's healthy right now. So if you're going to choose a time to be aggressive in the acclimation of the rookie, Breshad Smith, do it now. Do it. So tonight, that's kind of what I would like to see is basically a lot from the rookies, and I don't expect to see anything from anybody else.
If you take the Rashee Rice looming suspension off the table for a second, generally speaking, the wide receiver room for Kansas City is deeper than it's probably been the entire time Patrick Mahomes has been the starting quarterback for the team.
Not as top heavy, maybe.
Not as top heavy. And I've said it multiple times. I know we've talked about it before on this program that it feels like to me that Jalen Royals, and again, notwithstanding the Rashee Rice suspension, but Jalen Royals, I think generally speaking, has less pressure on his shoulders than the predecessors that came in the years before him and Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy.
100%.
Because the cupboard was quite a bit more bare with both Rice and Worthy. With Rice, he came in with very, very little. Like the wide receivers that were on that roster at the time, I know they had Juju that year, Rashee Rice's rookie season, I believe. Or maybe that was the year that Juju left. I think that was the year, actually, that Juju left. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, I believe, was on. Like, they didn't have much at wide receiver. So the expectation was that Rashee Rice could step into a pretty prominent role early on. It took a little bit of time for him to get to that point. Xavier Worthy, you kind of thought initially in his rookie season last year that he could ease into it some, and then the wide receiver started dropping like flies, and he was forced into a role. That could always happen with Jalen Royals. Hope it doesn't. I mean, I hope everybody stays healthy.
Now it has happened times four, though.
Exactly. There's much more depth at wide receiver than there was before, and I like that for Jalen Royals, even though on the negative side, if you wanted to look at it glass half empty of like, well, he might not see the field because of the depth and the health and all of that, everything is good for Kansas City. Again, notwithstanding the Rashee Rice suspension that's looming. But I think that's a good thing for Jalen Royals to be able to not have the weight of the world on his shoulders, and he can ease his way into an NFL career.
I do too. I also think he's further along in his progress, it feels like, from the things we're hearing than the other guys, which is another interesting wrinkle. That doesn't mean he's better than them, by the way. Like when we say that Royals feels like he's further along in learning the offense and all, that doesn't mean he's more talented. It just means he's further along than they were at this point. I think Xavier Worthy is being severely undervalued. I think the way he ended last year was pretty incredible. I think he showed far more versatility as a receiver over the course of the year. It just took some time, like it did with Rice. Now, I mean, it's hard to, like, who do you think, if they're both healthy, has the better season, Rice or Worthy? I think is a really fun question to think about. I think it's probably still Rice, but I'm not sure that it's a foregone conclusion, which is the way a lot of people treat it, right? I think the reason that I've loved the prospects of the Chiefs offense are twofold. One, the offensive line, which we've talked about, has to at least be a little better. And this receiver room, I mean, Tommy, they are going to run five legitimate pass catching options almost every play. And they have more than that, right? If Smith gets into a McKinnon role, if Royals can be a gadget guy, now you're talking about six or seven different guys that you could, if they were to take that thing high octane, up tempo, and have one or two routes down the field on every play, you're going to gas the defense. Like, they have a chance to be really special offensively this year. And I know it's been a little slow the last couple. And so people have kind of, I think people still want to call Mahomes the GOAT because he's such a great winner. I think some people forget that Mahomes was originally the GOAT because he can pile it up. And I think if you know, this is lining up now with the Rice suspension coming later for the Chiefs to come out of the gates swinging on offense, and I think they're going to. And I think we're not going to see much of it in the preseason, but I think when we hit week one, it will be full steam ahead, and they will be rocking and rolling right out of the gates.
You mentioned the players that you want to see tonight and Jalen Royals and Breshard Smith. I think there are four players offensively that I would like to see something from, and that is on the offensive line. I'd like to see more reps from Josh Simmons. Sure. I'd like to see Kingsley Suamataia see if he can actually do something productive at left guard, and I'd like to see Jalen Moore rotate in there as well, because they're going to need a contingency plan at left guard. And those, you know, other than Simmons, like Suamataia and Moore are not rookies, and I want to see them get some reps in tonight's game. And then the fourth one, you mentioned Breshard Smith. I want to see if the Chiefs have anything at all in Elijah Mitchell. He got a little bit of run in the first preseason game, and it wasn't bad, but it was very brief and very limited. I'd like to see them give him a little bit of run, because I think if they do that in the second preseason game, we'll all have a pretty good idea if he is going to be somebody that can get a roster spot and back up Pacheco and be a contributor in some way, shape, or form offensively for this team. So that would be somebody even outside of Breshard Smith that I'd like to see get some reps tonight. And obviously he's not a rookie either. So those would be guys that I really would be looking at least offensively that I'd like to get a little bit of run.
Yeah, look, Mitchell, fully healthy, Mitchell has more upside than Hunt as a backup, but Hunt has all the safety, which is why he's so secure and why they felt like it was important to get him back there. He's a safety play, and I get it. Carry four backs, then yeah, I want to see what Mitchell has too.
With Elijah Mitchell, it's a dart throw. I think everybody knows it's a dart throw, you know, to see if he can be productive at all. But you're not going to know unless you give him some run in a preseason game, and he got a little bit last week. I think he got 3 carries in that first game against the Cardinals. I'd like to see him get 7 or 8, you know, somewhere around there, just to see if he's got some juice left.
Yeah, we'll find out. They play at 9 o'clock tonight. All right, when we come back, we'll talk a little baseball on the other side. We'll get to some of the other stories in the sports world. Don't go away. It's Sports Daily on a Friday. All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are rocking and rolling with another hour here of the program. Glad you're here with us on this Friday. Getting you ready for the weekend. Chiefs football tonight. You'll hear it, by the way. 8 o'clock coverage begins over on KNSS for the 9 o'clock kick. 7 o'clock coverage tonight of the Royals for, I believe, a 7:10 first pitch against the White Sox. That'll be right here on KFH. We're going to talk Royals this hour. We're going to take you around the rest of the sports world. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company with the just-announced Kansas Lager Fest. Join WBC along with more than a dozen other breweries for samples and celebration of the crisp, clean brews known as lagers. Go to www.wichitabrew.com to get your tickets now. We come back in for another hour. We'll still take your comments and commentary on the Rashi Rice situation. We might go back to that toward the end of the show, Tommy. You ready for the weekend? You got big weekend plans? Last non-football weekend.
Yeah, don't have a lot. We're going to the Royals game tomorrow, Royals and White Sox. So we've got that that going on tomorrow.
That's
should
right.
Should be a lot of fun. It's going to be a hot day. Apparently the tickets that we have, includes all you can drink beer. So, that's a challenge and dangerous, but it should be a lot
of
fun.
It's what?
It's all
challenge accepted.
It's all you can drink beer.
Man, I gotta tell you, that's disappointing to hear.
Hey, you were invited. And you turned it down.
I know. I did not turn it down. I turned it up. And I was going to get turned up until my wife qualified for her tennis sectionals. Good luck to her. I think she's playing right now, actually. So Crestview Country Club, great supporter of the show. We talk about all the great things and the reasons we think that it's worth your time to give them a call. I will be out there golfing this morning. Tommy turned that down.
I did turn that down.
Like he has a job to do or something. And then my wife has found tennis in the last year. And so she has a great group of friends. She's on a team that is made up of Crestview members, and they had a good enough season that they got into the sectional round, which is why I'm not going to all you can drink beer with Tommy at the Royals game tomorrow, is because she is in Oklahoma City trying to, I think the next step is nationals. I don't know if they're in the mix for that or not, but they're out there going to give it their all. She's got 2 matches today, like a 7 a.m. and a 7 p.m.
Wow.
And I'm like,
it's a long day.
You'll be fine. Yeah, well, yeah, they play like 2 or 3 hours sometimes.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
So yeah,
good luck.
Good luck to your wife in that. That's pretty exciting.
Crestview's one of the, I know there are a lot of options for that stuff in town. It's one of the only ones with a full tennis facility like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's more than just golf, which is fantastic. The 36 holes and all that. But I'm going to take the kids to the pool this weekend because she's out of town. Like all of this great stuff. Give them a call and ask them about all the different kinds of memberships that they have available. And I believe that this is the time of year, if you're looking for some pretty sweet deals, this is the time of year to do that. Give Todd a call.
In the meantime, while you are taking the kids to the pool this weekend and playing Mr. Mom and all of that, I'm going to go to the Royals game and drink all you can drink beer.
I might go to Chuck E. Cheese and drink all the beer.
We're going with some friends, and I got it worked out to where I don't have to drive. So I will be the passenger in the vehicle, which is great. So
better.
I'm like, this is phenomenal. Like I can just have a great time.
It will be a miserable drive home.
It will. I probably will fall asleep. I'm guessing on the way home. That'd be
No. You can't do that. Is another guy driving?
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Of course I can. I've got no shame in that.
That is absolutely man code 101.
Oh, come on.
You can't do that.
You can absolutely, especially after a day of drinking, you can absolutely fall asleep.
We're putting this one up to the listeners. Everybody, I need backup on this. Man code, you cannot, as a passenger on a road trip, be the guy that falls asleep in the back while everyone else is toughing it out for you. Can't do it.
The caveat there is if you've been drinking all evening. I think the answer is, yeah, you can. You should.
Part of it. Sleep it off. It's like the first time you were drunk, a dad came in and was like, you know what? Get your tail up. We're going to get to work. Like, that's a part of what is. My grandpa always said, my mom loves to say it, if you're gonna soar with the eagles at night, you gotta fly with the turkeys in the morning. Something like that. Basically, like, you gotta just suck it up.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly. I didn't realize turkeys could fly.
Just not well, right? Like, they're kinda you know, not as well as an eagle. Yeah. So it's something like that. I always get that saying wrong. But the point is, if you're out there having a great time with your buddies, you can't be fall asleep guy.
I have no shame in that. I've got no shame in falling asleep in the car.
It's slightly different because you'll have a DD and, you know, you'll have all that stuff.
And it's a 2.5 hour drive and it's going to be late at night. And I don't know. I have no shame in dozing off in the car.
I feel like you should have shame.
No shame.
This is the guy that tries to shame me for hitting a range ball over a water hazard that has the stones to get up here and say there's nothing wrong with bailing on the driver of a road trip by falling asleep. I mean, come on here.
I'm like, usually the driver in the road. Like, about 95% of the time, I'm the one that has to drive. And people bail on me left and right when I'm driving. My wife bails on me every single time I drive.
We're not talking.
Anywhere.
I hope. I don't imagine your wife subscribes to the man show.
She's got her pillow. She's got, like, she brings blankets into the car.
Too.
And I'm like, you know what? Like, if I ever get to a point to where I don't have to drive for once, you better believe I'm going to take a nap.
Mm-mm. Can't do it. I mean, that's just, you can't do that.
I need to get a little bit of shut eye because when I get home, it's probably going to be midnight, 1 a.m. Sunday morning. I am immediately throwing a pork butt on the Traeger for dinner on Sunday night. So I'm going to have to be, you know, alert enough to be able to actually get that done and ready to go. So I might need to sleep off a little bit of the beer on the way home from the Royals game.
None of this is acceptable. None of this is acceptable. I'm sorry to whoever your driver is that you're not going to be there to help them through a late night, 2.5 hour stretch of road to get you home safely. Tommy.
You know what's not acceptable is the fact that you had an opportunity to enjoy all you can drink beer, and probably I would have driven probably at that point. You would have been able to just.
There's no control for me in that situation, though. That's the problem. There, I have no control of this one. The plan was to go and partake and do all these fun things, but you have to be sometimes a good supportive husband and sit at home and, you know, think about all the fun that's being had without me. I do get a little FOMO. I am prone to FOMO. I will say that. Little prone. I'm bummed.
I'll make sure to send you some photos. And some video from the ballpark. It should be a fun time. I was going to mention really quick on a completely different note. You were mentioning golf, and I know we talked about Sam Stevens in the first hour. I think the term you usually use is butt pucker in time. It's butt pucker in time for Sam Stevens this weekend because he's right on the cusp of the top 30. And so as the weekend rolls on, depending on how he finishes in this BMW championship, that will dictate whether or not he plays in the Tour Championship next week or not. And so it's a big weekend for him. He's currently projected at 33, down from 31. He's got to get into the top 30. And so he's got to have a good showing the next couple of days.
So they must be out on the West Coast, I assume, or
no, they're something. Not. No. They're not on the West Coast.
I last checked the scoreboard, I feel like yesterday evening, and Robert McIntyre has skyrocketed up that. So now the leader is at 8 under. It was at 5 under with Fleetwood. Yeah. And then
it's in Maryland. Maryland is where the tournament
that
is.
Doesn't make any sense.
They had a rain delay yesterday where they were off the course for a few hours. And so it ended up being a later finish. But it's a later start too, because you've got fewer golfers. So I don't think anybody is teed off yet in the day. And in fact, I think there's a couple golfers that didn't finish their round. From yesterday,
one golfer has to finish.
Yeah.
So he'll get going. They don't have scheduled tee times yet. I think they said 10 a.m. this morning is when they'll finish up. So they'll get it off on Saturday. Yes, Sam Stevens has work to do. I don't know. I'm going to guess based on where I'm seeing guys projected and finishing, Tommy, he'll probably need to be at minimum inside the top 20 on this tournament. He's tied for 25th right now, and it's got him losing a couple of places. Just looking at it, he would need to gain ground. Like, we're not gaining ground actually until probably the top 15. So he probably needs to get into the top 15 to move that a couple of spots in the other
It's also going to be determinant on who is ahead of him and where they finish. And so if you've got a couple of guys that are ahead of him right now that have bad rounds and they can drop a little bit further down, you've got to have somebody drop out for Sam to be able to get up to that point too. So it's not just in his hands to get into the top 30, but he's going to have to, you know, go out and fire a good round today.
Good luck to Sam Stevens. He does get all four rounds. There's no cut. So he's got plenty of time and room to do it. We know he's capable. He's fired some crazy rounds this year. Hopefully he can get another one here today and into the weekend and continue on in this FedEx Cup playoffs. It's been a lot of fun to follow. When we come back, we're going to talk some Kansas City Royals. On the way out, let's get you hooked up with a week of Swing 365 Golf, the private simulator over on the east side. You get it all to yourself for up to an hour and a half to get in there, watch some games, hit some balls, have some fun, BYOB, all that kind of stuff. So good luck right now. All you got to do to win that free week is text the keyword SWING to 20357. That's SWING to 20357. Appreciate them helping us help you with a free week of golf there at Swing 365. We're going to come back. We're going to talk some Royals when we return. Don't go away. It's Sports Daily on a Friday.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart,
for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Summer Concert Series wraps up tonight in Wichita, Navsker Park. The series concludes with Roadhouse Saints live on stage. Gates open at 6:30. Show starts at 8. Been a great Summer Concert Series. Finish it off with a bang tonight with the Roadhouse Saints. We come back in. We've got Sports Daily. You've got Royals baseball tonight on KFH. Tommy, it's a pretty simple little, you know, deal here. You're playing a series that is not good at all. You're against a team that's not good at all. In fact, they are the worst team in the American League. They are the worst team in the American League by quite a great number. And you get them at home and you must sweep them. I don't think that that's too crazy to say that they must sweep them, because they must sweep them. Kansas City comes into the day 4 games back. They trail Seattle, Boston, the Yankees, Cleveland, and Texas. They're about to host Texas for a bunch of games. They play Cleveland down the stretch. Those are the two you really look at as the big opportunity series remaining. But in order to either gain some ground or hold with them, they've got to be able to sweep teams like the White Sox when they play them. The White Sox stink, and they need to be able to go beat them 3 times.
You also like the way that the starting pitching is lined up for this weekend for Kansas City. You've got Cameron on the mound tonight. Lorenzen makes his return to the rotation on Saturday. And then you've got Ryan Burgert, who I feel like has been pretty solid since the Royals acquired him from San Diego. So you've got those 3 guys. I like the way that that has panned out for Kansas City going into this weekend. And I like the fact that it's Noah Cameron starting things off tonight for the Royals to get things off to a really good start. If the offense can stay hot like they have been, and if you can get Noah Cameron to be able to give you a good solid outing, you know, fairly deep into the game, 6 innings, 7 innings, and then you go into the bullpen with the lead, because that offense has been hot and because Cameron can conceivably hold the White Sox down, you got to feel pretty good about their chances tonight. But it's crucial. I mean, this game specifically is crucial. The whole series is. But getting off to a really strong start, setting the tone for this weekend, that's really what the Royals are going to need to do.
So Rick brings up a good point to what you're talking about right now, that Lorenzen was not particularly good in either rehab start. He wasn't. He wasn't tremendous by any means. So here's what I would take away from that, and I think it's a really good point from Rick. Cameron needs to get them deep into this game tonight. So they just had their day off. They won't have another one in for a week. Lorenzen's got to have a real short leash. Okay, you'd love for him to battle through it for you. It adds a little pressure on the offense to score. The one thing Chicago can do is pitch a little bit. So if Cameron can get them deep into this game, it would be very reassuring to have fresh arms going into the Lorenzen start, so that the Royals don't get into a situation like they did on Wednesday with Seth Lugo, where they leave him out there too long. Lorenzen hasn't been good for a while, right? Like even before the injury, he was struggling into that injury and he's hurt. And now he's come back, and to Rick's point, he hasn't been great in these rehab starts. I just hope the Royals are able to get him in a short leash situation.
That's really, I think, what the Royals are going to need to look at doing. What I find interesting about Lorenzen's return from the IL is that the corresponding move was that Bailey Falter then moves to the bullpen after only two starts for the Royals. So Falter's place in the rotation would have come up tomorrow, but he's not been good in his first two starts with the Royals. He's had
he's your backup plan.
An ERA over 10 and a whip around two in both of those starts for Kansas City. And so that I think that does become your backup plan. Assuming that Cameron can go relatively deep in this game tonight, you give Lorenzen, like you mentioned, a short leash, knowing that you've got Falter out of the pen. Hopefully coming out of the pen, maybe you'll be a little bit better.
Lynch isn't needed tonight.
Right. Absolutely. The most ideal situation for not only tonight's game, but for tomorrow's is if the bullpen pieces that the Royals throw out there tonight are Ursig and Estevez in a hold and save situation. That would be the most ideal situation, I think, for the Royals bullpen for tonight's game, because then it leaves those other guys where you may need to eat up some innings for tomorrow's game with Lorenzen and potentially a short leash.
Well, and Kolek is on the roster too.
He's in the minors. Yeah, he's in the minors.
So he's an option at some point to keep in the back of your head if something terrible happens. He has started games for the Padres this year, and he wasn't bad. He wasn't great. He wasn't like as promising, I wouldn't say, as Burgert, but he can also come help. So, and I bring him up because let's say neither Lorenzen or Falter looks particularly good. Well, you could then send somebody down and get Kolek up in order to help you for the rest of the series. They just, all of this to say, it'd be real nice if Cameron gets deep into this game to leave all options on the table. Because while a Saturday game against the White Sox may not seem like there needs to be, like they can't afford to have what happened on Wednesday happen to them anymore. They have to win these games. Like they're going to run out of games to play if they don't. So I do think there's some desperation involved even in a series against the White Sox, even if, you know, two out of three, look, you want two out of three. I just don't know how much more we're going to be able to say two out of three and gaining one game when you're playing these teams is going to be enough. It's not. You have to really separate from these bad teams, because the likelihood is you are not going to start sweeping these good teams when you play them. You might not even win those series. Let's be realistic about this. Their chance is to beat up on the bad teams that they'll play. That's been the Royals going back to last year. You beat up on the bad teams and you kind of split with everybody else, and that's usually enough.
Yeah, I was thinking about, you know, we're about 2 weeks past the trade deadline, and I know it's a very small sample size, but in those 2 weeks, in retrospect, looking back on all of the moves that the Royals made, and I even include the Seth Lugo extension in the moves as well, what has worked out and what hasn't in a short period of time? And I think that, I mean, it's a mixed bag from J.J. Piccolo from the trade deadline. Clearly the moves, at least right now in the short term, that he made offensively seem to be panning out better than the pitching moves that he made. I mean, like, I think that obviously Yastrzemski has been positive. Grichuk and Frazier, like those guys, basically all the offense that the Royals have generated, that I think in a short-term window has been a success. And I don't think there's any reason for that to not continue as we get deeper into August and into September. From a pitching perspective, though, Ryan Burgert has been good, but in the short term, retrospectively, the pitching moves have not panned out for the Royals, with Falter not being able to deliver in two starts, Lugo doesn't look right, and of course they signed him to that big extension, and Kolek is in the minors. So really, one out of four acquisitions on the pitching staff in the short term have not panned out since the Royals made those deals. The moves offensively have, though. So it's been a mixed bag, I think, for J.J. Piccolo.
And I'll say this again, and I know I've said it. I'm not as concerned about those pitching moves not working this year, because since they've made them, Hunter Harvey's probably out for the year. We're getting bad stuff from Cole Reagans. Who knows if he's going to come back. Lorenzen, of course, got hurt. Those moves were as much about next year, honestly, to
Bubic,
me, as they were
Bubic
about
is out
year.
For the year.
Bubic know, like, yeah. is also out for the year since all of this, you know, kind of came to a head. So, like, the moves that they made were partly to, yes, withstand the Bubic and Lorenzen and Reagans and Harvey and all of these guys that have been, they were part of that. But to me, it was much more about next year, right? They really are probably going to have one thing to address, and it's going to be an outfielder. That's it. Like, they won't have, I mean, maybe another reliever, because Harvey's out, but they've, you know, they've kind of acclimated a bunch of good ones this year. So maybe even not even that. I don't know, but I don't want to say it was a non. We'll look. We got to look back in like 2 years to really
evaluate.
It's a
very, very small sample size. It's a.
Well, not even
I
just
that.
Even if it projects out this way the rest of this year, right? Let's say everything holds steady. Lugo, something's there. He doesn't regain his form. Falter's not a non-factor, right? Kolek never really. Even if all of that happened the rest of this year, I don't want to look back and evaluate the deadline until probably after next year. I need to see if Bergert fits into the rotation. I need to see if Lugo is back, I guess. And then, you know, I don't know what Falter's going to give them. He's better than he's pitched so far for the Royals. But the reality is these moves were used to address things down the road, right? As much as they were. That's why we liked, because we didn't know if they should buy anyway. Like, you can make an easy case that they should have been sellers at the deadline. And there were certainly teams around them that were. But the moves that they made helped them beyond this year. And that's what I really liked about the deadline, is because they set themselves up and did some business now that they don't have to do later. The other obvious thing we need to see to evaluate a trade deadline is how do the pieces play that they traded away. Freddie Vermeen, I assume he stayed hot this week. He's been awesome.
He's been really good. And they've needed,
he's been really good.
They've needed that. That was a major hole that the Padres had, was at catcher. And so for him to be able to get that run and be able to contribute, I think is huge for them. You mentioned Cole Reagans. Ann Rogers reported the other day that Reagans threw off a mound for the first time since the injury, since he landed on the IL. But she did caution, saying that it will be September by the time the Royals are talking about what a return is going to look like for him. It could very well be that at that point, the Royals are out of the chase, out of the hunt. And so, you know, just shut him down for the year at that point. But this weekend series could go a long way. You know, it's,
you got to sweep it.
You have to. And it's hard for me to not, hindsight's always 20/20, but it's hard for me to not look back on the game on Wednesday and then the game on Sunday, the Nationals finale and the Twins finale, where the Royals had both of those games in hand with a chance to win both of them. They dropped both of them. We could be entering this series this weekend against the White Sox with the Royals three games above 500. If they had just gotten those two games, they would be three games over 500. They're one game under 500 going in to this series. That's the kind of wild swings that, you know, a couple of games can have for a team that's in the playoff chase, that's in contention, but you're chasing other teams and now you're running out of games. I'm with you. I usually hesitate in big, like, you know, big projections, like they have to sweep. Like, I'm with right. you now. They have to sweep this series.
Well, it's hardest in baseball to use those sort of definitive statements, because what's the reality? If they don't sweep this one but sweep Texas, it will have been better anyway. And that's all. And in baseball, that's always on the table, right? Baseball's the hardest sport to say those kinds of things. But just big picture, when it is going to almost certainly come down, like if they were going to make the postseason, Tommy, it's probably a situation where it happens on the last game of the season, right? Just because the math isn't mathing for them right now. That's where it's like, do not, like, yeah, the wiggle room, if they had any, and I'm not sure that they do, the wiggle room was used up on those last two really bad losses. Like that used up any wiggle room you had, if you had any to begin with. And I'm not sure that they did. So what does that mean? It means now they have to go do things that you wouldn't necessarily expect or project them to do. You've got to go sweep a series against a really good team now. right? You've got to do something special against Cleveland when you play them or something like that, and you can make up for it. But they, I mean, Tommy, we're not even talking about a team that's at 500 right now. We have to be realistic. As much as we love some of the players on the team, they underperformed for a large portion of the season, and now they've got just a boatload of injuries they're trying to navigate. It is what it is. I'm not holding out hope. We know this is a team capable of getting hot. Start it with a sweep of the White Sox. Man, that would feel so good. And not just a sweep, beat the hell out of them. Like, you know, how about some just three comfortable, cozy, cruise into it wins. Tommy's out there drinking all the beer he can drink. He doesn't care that it's 8-0 Royals right there. He's lost track of things. And that's what we need this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, really offensively, that it's not out of the question that they could do that. I mean, I think that they absolutely can and should. Because when you compare the Nationals to the White Sox, they both have an okay, like they're okay in some regards, but
the Nationals can hit Nationals and can't pitch. The White Sox can pitch and can't hit.
It's like the inverse, you know, between the two. Yeah. And so the Royals offensively, if they can continue on, even, you know, a good majority offensively of what they were able to get done against Washington, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that we're seeing the Royals put up 5, 6, 7, 8 runs each game starting tonight in this series this weekend.
I don't either. I want to hold on, and maybe it's just that I'm an optimist and I'm being insane. I want to hold out hope that they do have that run in them that is going to make this a fun finish to the season. Whether or not they make it, I don't think they're going to. But I think they're going to give us the hope that they can. Let's be selfish here for the 3 more weeks we need them to before we're full blown into football. I mean, isn't that the reality? Like, we just need you to take us through the rest of this month, Royals. Give us two more weeks. I'd prefer if you did something special and give us into October, but at least give us 2 more weeks. Okay, is that too much to ask? Is it too much to ask to keep them relevant here until we can get to football season, which, by the way, starts next weekend? How crazy is that? Let's look at some of these early lines when we come back. KU, K-State, the lines are out. The Chiefs lines are out.
Have you put money down on any of them yet? Have you made a couple of bets?
I have put money down on some, yes. There is a new gambling site, a new app out. I'm not sure if you've heard of it.
I have.
They have bonuses right now. I would caution you that those expire. I would caution you to hold off until you get closer to football season so that you can use them on football before their expiration. I went ahead and did that. So I've been trying to bet some baseball, and I have looked out to those week one lines. And yes, I have used some of that on week one lines. In fact, I think there are player props out right now on some of these. Maybe if I can figure it out, I haven't fully navigated it yet, but maybe we'll take a look at some player props. Maybe we'll try to put together a way, way, way too early bet on football for those of you out there like me, and I know you're out there because I've talked to you about it, that got our hands on the bonus bets maybe a little too early because they expire. So we'll look at some of that next. We'll look at the lines either way because they're interesting, especially for KU and K-State when we return. All right, let's see here. Any more housekeeping? I think we need to say thank you to Prairie Fire Coffee because it is a Friday and we need that last little push over the finish line, and we appreciate Prairie Fire anytime that we can get our hands on it, a big old vat of it. If you missed anything, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. Of course, you can leave us voice messages on the Odyssey app as well. All you got to do is hit that little microphone. We'll come back next week. We're going to pick games next week. Next week will feel almost like a regular football season type of week. All right, Tommy, betting lines, way too early. What are we doing here? Why are we doing this? Are we insane? The answer to all these questions is yes, and because it's fun, and why wouldn't we, quite frankly? Let's start with the Chiefs. Not tonight. By the way, they're 3-point dogs tonight. Might actually take the Seahawks based on who we think is going to play in the game. I don't
know. If you're betting preseason Chiefs games, you're a I've you're never a true been able sicko. To do you're it. A true degenerate.
Yeah, I've never been able to do it. But if we go to week one, you'll see. Oh, man, Tommy, the Cowboys are 7-point dogs plus 235 on the money line against the Eagles. I might, just for fun, I'm going to be on vacation for that game. Just for fun, I might throw a little on the Cowboys money line. But the Chiefs are 3-point favorites. It's a game in Brazil. It's technically a road game, so you can kind of call it neutral field. I kind of love the Chiefs at minus 3 right now. No, if you're telling me Rashee Rice is going to play, and if you're telling me Rashawn Slater's not, and the Chargers are going to have to make that quick adjustment, I'm very, very comfortable with the Chiefs minus 3 in that scenario. Very comfortable.
I'm kind of surprised that line hasn't caught up a little bit. And I know there's not, a definitive answer about whether or not Rashee Rice will play, but it does sound like the reports are that he will play the first 4 weeks. And because again, that hearing is not going to happen until September 30th. But I'm surprised that Vegas hasn't caught up with that, because I would imagine that between that and you mentioned the injury to Rashawn Slater, it's only 3. I would have put it probably more at like 6 or 7 with those two different things that you just said. So I'm with you. I would lay the 3 as of right now in early line. And honestly, I would jump on that before the line does move, even farther.
It may not move farther. Look, I don't know.
I think it should. I mean, I'm surprised that it hasn't.
Let's look just real quick. I want to see, since Herbert's been there, how close their typical games are. So last year, the Chiefs won by 2, by 7, and then they had a 1-point win in January of 24 and a 14-point win. So they haven't lost to them in the last couple of years. Since Herbert's been there, how long, when did he come in 22? I think the Chiefs have won all of them. The 3-point margin has been in play probably half of those games. So they're typically close-ish. That's probably what you're seeing. I think you're looking at what should be a good pass rush against a little bit unknown on the Chiefs offensive line still here a little bit. But I think the Chargers by the end of the year, I got to see the Slater injury. I loved the Chargers this year, but now with the Slater injury, I just need to take one step back. I think Harbaugh's awesome. I think they were very smart to draft Amarian Hampton. I think they found something in Ladd McConkey. I think they were very smart to bring back Keenan Allen. Like, I love what the Chargers are doing. But in the first week of the season when they just lost their star left tackle, I'm willing to lay the 3 points there. I think on a neutral field, I'm comfortable with it.
They may not have Slater this season, but don't forget they do have Joe Alt on that offensive line, he's
so it's really going to be more about the other side of the line. Like, I'm comfortable with Alt. It's the other tackle. Are the Chiefs going to be able to get a little pass rush here out of the gates? Then we go into the college football, and I have already placed the bet on K-State. I believe that line is at 3.5. I think I got them at 3. No, I did get them at 3.5. So I got, and this was, I made that bet a while ago. So they are at 3.5 against Iowa State. I just told you I'm comfortable with that number. I think Iowa State is going to be one of the contenders. I think there are more questions for them than there are for K-State. That doesn't mean anything in the transfer portal era necessarily, right? Like, because they may have brought in some studs, even though they lost studs. I will take the comfort of knowing K-State is returning so much offensively to say, okay, fine, I'll take the 3.5 points here. I'll lay the 3.5 points here.
I mean, Kansas State is going to have to buck history if they're going to get the win here. I mean, outside of 2022, when the Wildcats won the Big 12, Iowa State has won each of the matchups over the last, I think, 5 years. And so it's been Matt Campbell kind of owning Chris Klieman over the last several years, again, outside of that Big 12 championship season for Kansas State. So they're going to have to buck that history, buck that trend if they want to get the win. What makes it difficult for me is a couple things. First off, when a game is overseas like that, it's so hard to know, like, what sort of are there external factors that will play into that. We just don't know. We've never seen, you know, these teams play in Ireland before. So I mean, it's one thing if Farmageddon is in Ames, it's one thing if it's in Manhattan. Having Farmageddon in Dublin is a complete unknown. And so that makes it difficult to be able to assess it. And then number two, to your point, talking about who Matt Campbell went out and got and brought in to this team, we just don't know. I feel like I know very little about Iowa State. Like, out of all of the
just
teams,
their quarterback, right?
Yeah.
That's all we know.
Outside of Rocco Becht, out of all of the teams that are expected to contend in the Big 12, I probably know the least about Iowa State outside of the quarterback. I mean, I feel like we know enough we know enough about Arizona State and what they returned what
Baylor,
they lost.
Yeah.
Tech, we know that they brought in a phenomenal class. Baylor's got, you know, returners
Baylor
in Kansas
returns,
State and
Baylor's
all that.
Sneaky.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like we just, outside of Rocco Becht, I know nothing about Iowa State, but it seems like they're poised to again contend for a Big 12 title. So I've got a hard time, at least right now, assessing the way I feel this game is going to play out.
I think the real rivalry and the real matchup to watch in Ireland is the Iowa State fans and their ability to drink beer up against the Irish culture, you know, the stereotypes that we associate with Ireland.
Don't discount Kansas State and their fans.
No,
beer.
Kansas State's a great beer drinking, you know, alumnus. I've had plenty of beers with great K-State people. I'm not discounting anything. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not taking anybody over Iowa State fans' ability to float a keg. I mean, I'm just not going to do it. I've seen it too many times. I've seen that party too many times. I'm not taking anybody over Iowa State when it comes to beer drinking. They've got a flag on their backs here over in Ireland. You got to represent. K-State fans will do their part.
But it's going to be a little bit of a culture shock, though, I would think, for Iowa State fans going to Ireland and having to switch from their standard Bush Light to Guinness. Like, that's going to be a little bit of a different change.
I think they're up to any challenge. I don't think it matters. I think it's kind of a you put it in front of them and game on situation when we're talking about Cyclone fans. Have you been to, like, the Big 12 tournament?
No, I never have.
They're the champs. They're the champs of the Power and Light District. I'm telling you, like you roll in there after a late night of basketball and it's 1:30 in the morning and you see literal mountains of floated kegs back behind the places and you go inside and you're at like an 80-20 ratio of Cyclone fans in that bar, still going strong, not holding anything back. K-State fans will represent us well. But I'm not putting anybody up against the beer drinking abilities of Iowa State fans. K-State's going to win that football game. I'll lay the 3.5. Here's the interesting one to me, Tommy. What are we doing with Kansas? Kansas is a 12.5 point favorite over Fresno State. Fresno State wasn't very good last year, I don't believe. We know nothing about Fresno State. If somebody wants to come on here, maybe Shreyas Lotta will know something about them next week when we talk to him. If anybody else gets on here and tries to pretend like you know about Fresno State, I probably won't believe you. I couldn't give you one player on Fresno State. Not one. And I don't really care, honestly, at this point. This is about Kansas, right? This is are you comfortable with all the new faces Kansas is going to bring in this year with laying 12.5 versus anybody right now until we see them play? It's a stay away for me. And we'll make our picks on it next week. But right now, it's an avoid. I have no idea what to do with that.
I'm as of right now, if I had to put money down on it, I would lay the 12.5 simply because it's a homecoming for Kansas. They get a chance to play back in Lawrence for the first time since the end of the 23-24 season. And so they'll be back inside the remodeled booth. You know, with a returning Jalen Daniels, with a returning Daniel Hyshaw, with a returning Lance Leipold, and then a bunch of other pieces that, yeah, we haven't totally seen come together yet. Newcomers and new faces and that sort of thing. But I think that I know that, you know, this probably isn't your stereotypical cupcake non-conference game to start the season. Fresno State is not a cupcake team, I don't think. But I do think that with everything else that's going on with this first game back, in Lawrence, back inside the booth right now. I might change my mind when we actually do picks, but right now, an early line, if I had to choose, I would lay the 12.5.
Andrew, great listener, says that Kurt Warner's son is the quarterback of Fresno State.
Yeah, he is.
I think we did.
We talked about that.
I think we have paid attention to that one. But
he was in the American for a number of years. He was the starting quarterback for Tulane. He was at Rice for a while.
He's had a cup of coffee.
Yep.
But I don't know what that means for this game. I think what is the let's look at the one other thing I want to take a look at in that game is the over under at 50.5. Well, you always want to take that over in a Kansas game.
Yeah, I'm gonna roll the over. I think.
I think I am too. I mean, think about what they lost in the secondary, Kansas, this year. They have so many questions. Kansas, it will not surprise me if Kansas is like a top half of the Big 12 team this year. Won't surprise me a lot. Lance Leipold's their coach and Jalen Daniels is their quarterback. And if Jalen Daniels is healthy, which I think this is as healthy as he's been in 5 years, I'm comfortable with them ending up good. But man, we don't know anything. When you lose those kinds of players out of the secondary, and when you lose a guy like Grimm, who's been there every step
Lawrence
of the way.
Lawrence Arnold has been really good over his career. You don't have him anymore.
You lose Devin Neal. Yeah. Like, I don't know how to set any expectations for them.
I really actually kind of like Kansas as an under the radar Cinderella team in the Big 12. I'm not going to go as far to say they're going to win the Big 12 or anything.
I'm fine with that.
They're
too.
In that next tier down. But for Jalen Daniels, I think people forget about, because of the health issues over the years, they forget about how talented the kid is and how dynamic he is when he's been healthy. He just hasn't been healthy. And it seems like he is now healthy. The level of expectation is a lot lower now for Kansas than it was going into last season, and they weren't able to live up to that. I like them under the radar. I like them being able to, make some noise in the Big 12 this year.
I do too. I don't know that I like it as much as I absolutely think it's on the table. I don't like it or dislike it because I just have no idea. But I do like Jalen Daniels and Lance Leipold. And I'm willing to be like, yeah, that's going to be enough. Because it might be. We don't know a lot about a lot of Big 12. That's why we like Kansas State, right? Because we do know a lot about them. That's probably the only reason. They have a Heisman candidate at quarterback. That helps too. That'll do it for us here on Sports Daily. On the way out, if you want to win a cup of tea, free iced tea on us, text the keyword tea to 20357. That'll come from HTO, either in East Wichita, West Wichita, or in Derby. Good luck, everybody. Tea to 20357. It's a busy weekend here on the network. Tonight, you've got Royals at 7. That's on KFH. Chiefs pregame coverage begins at 8 o'clock over on KNSS. We'll see if we see anything out of the rookies tonight for the Chiefs. Tommy, plenty to talk about when we come back on Monday morning.
Yeah, tonight's going to be fun. Start with the Royals and roll right into a Chiefs game late night. It'll be a good time.
We'll be back on Monday, everybody. For Max and Tommy, I'm Jacob. We'll see you then.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.